The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, a term given to it by ancient Hellenic culture. The Hanging Gardens were described as a remarkable feat of engineering with an ascending series of tiered gardens containing a wide variety of trees, shrubs, and vines. The gardens were said to have looked like a large green mountain constructed of mud bricks. The Hanging Gardens is the only one of the seven ancient wonders for which the location has not been definitively established. Traditionally, they were said to have been built in the ancient city of Babylon, near the present-day Hala Babil province in Iraq. The Babylonian priest Berossus, writing in about 290 BC and quoted later by Josephus, attributed the garden to Neo-Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar II, who ruled between 605 and 562 BC. There are no extant Babylonian texts which mention the gardens, and no definite archaeological evidence has been found in Babylon. Because no physical evidence for the Hanging Gardens has been found in Babylon, two theories have been suggested. One is that they were purely mythical, and the descriptions found in ancient Greek and Roman writers, including Strabo, Diodorus, Siculus, Quintus Curtius, Rufus, represent a romantic ideal of an Eastern garden. If it did indeed exist, it was destroyed sometime after the 1st century AD. The other theory is that they were actually in the city of Nineveh, constructed by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. According to the legend, Nebuchadnezzar II built the Hanging Gardens for his Median wife, Queen Amidis, because she missed the green hills and valleys of her homeland. He also built a grand palace that came to be known as the Marvel of the Mankind. Stephanie Daly suggests that the original garden may have been a well-documented one that Assyrian king Sennacherib, 704 to 681 BC, built in his capital city, Nineveh, in the river Tigris, near the modern city of Mosul. There are five principal writers whose descriptions of Babylon are extant in some form today. These writers concern themselves with the size of the Hanging Gardens, their original design and means of irrigation, and why they were built. Josephus, circa 37 to 100 AD, quotes a description of the gardens by Berossus, a Babylonian priest of Marduk, writing circa 290 BC. Berossus described the reign of Nebuchadnezzar II and is the only source to credit that the king constructed the Hanging Gardens. In this palace, he erected very high walks, supported by stone pillars, and by planting what was called a pencil paradise, and replenishing it with all sorts of trees, he rendered the prospect an exact resemblance of a mountainous country. This he did to gratify his queen, because she had been brought up in Media and was fond of a mountainous situation. Diodorus Siculus, active circa 60 through 30 BC, seems to have consulted the 4th century BC texts of both Plutarchus, a historian of Alexander the Great, and Cecius of Cnidus. Diodorus describes the construction of a Syrian king. He states that the garden was in the shape of a square with each side approximately 4 plethora long. The garden was tiered, with the uppermost gallery being 50 cubits high. The walls, 22 feet thick, were made of brick. The bases of the tiered sections were sufficiently deep to provide root growth for the largest trees, and the gardens were irrigated from the nearby Euphrates. Quintus Curtius Rufus, 1st century AD, probably drew on the same sources as Diodorus. He states that the gardens were located on top of a citadel, which was 20 stadia in circumference. He attributes the building of the gardens to a Syrian king again for the reason that his queen missed her homeland. The account of Strabo, circa 64 BC through 21 AD, possibly based his account on the lost account of Onsicritus from the 4th century BC. He mentions that the gardens were watered by means of screw leading to the gardens from the Euphrates. Philo of Byzantium, 4th to the 5th century AD, is the last of the classical sources. The description of the gardens in his A Handbook of the Seven Wonders of the World is thought to be independent of earlier Greek sources. The method of raising water by screws matches that described by Strabo. He marvels at the engineering and ingenuity of building vast areas of deep soil, which had a tremendous mass, so far above the natural grade of the surrounding land. The irrigation techniques were also a marvel. There is some controversy as to whether the Hanging Gardens were an actual construction or a poetic creation, owing to the lack of documentation in contemporaneous Babylonian sources. There is also no mention of Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Medes, or any other wives, although a political marriage to a Median or Persian would not have been unusual. Many records exist of Nebuchadnezzar's works, yet his long and complete inscriptions do not mention any garden. Herodotus, who describes Babylon in his histories, does not mention the Hanging Gardens. To date, no archaeological evidence has been found at Babylon or the Hanging Gardens. It's possible that evidence exists beneath the Euphrates, which cannot be excavated safely at present. The river flowed east of its current position during the time of Nebuchadnezzar II, and little is known about the western portion of Babylon. Rollinger has suggested that Berossus attributed the gardens to Nebuchadnezzar for political reasons, and that he had adopted the legend from elsewhere. A recent theory proposes that the gardens of Babylon were actually constructed by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, reigning from 704 to 681 BC, for his palace at Nineveh. Stephanie Daly posits that during the intervening centuries, the two sites became confused, and the extensive gardens at Sennacherib's palace were attributed to Nebuchadnezzar II's Babylon. Recently discovered evidence includes excavation of a vast system of aqueducts inscribed to Sennacherib, which Daly proposes were part of a 80-kilometer series of canals, dams, and aqueducts used to carry water to Nineveh, with water-raising screws used to raise it to the upper levels of the gardens. Daly bases her arguments on recent developments in the decipherment of contemporary Akkadian inscriptions. Her main points are: the name Babylon, meaning gates of gods, was applied to several Mesopotamian cities. Sennacherib renamed the city of Gates of Nineveh after gods, which suggests that he wishes his city to be considered a Babylon. Only Josephus names Nebuchadnezzar as the king who built the gardens. Although Nebuchadnezzar left many inscriptions, none mentions any garden or engineering works. Diodorus Siculus and Quintus Curtius Rufus specify a Syrian king. By contrast, Sennacherib left written descriptions, and there is archaeological evidence of his water engineering. His grandson, Assurbanipal, pictured the major garden on a sculptured wall panel in his palace. Sennacherib called his new palace and garden a wonder for all people. He describes the making and operation of screws to raise the water in his garden. The descriptions of the classical authors fit closely to the contemporary records. Before the Battle of Gaugamela in 331 BC, Alexander the Great camped out for 4 days near the aqueduct at Jerwan. The historians who traveled with him would have had ample time to investigate the enormous works around them, recording them in Greek. The first-hand accounts do not survive into our times, but were quoted by later Greek writers. The Hanging Gardens at Nineveh. King Sennacherib's Hanging Gardens was considered a world wonder, not just for its beauty, a year-round oasis of lush green and dusty summer landscapes, but also for the marvelous feats of water engineering that maintained the gardens. There was a tradition of Assyrian royal garden building. The king Ashurnasirpal II, 883 to 859 BC, had created a canal which cut through the mountains. Fruit tree orchards were planted. Also mentioned were pines, cypresses, and junipers, almond trees, date trees, ebony, rosewood, olive, oak, tamarisk, walnut, terebinth, ash, fir, pomegranate, pear, quince, fig, and grapes. Sennacherib is the only Mesopotamian king who has left a record for his love for his wife. Of Sennacherib's palace, he mentions the massive limestone blocks that reinforced the flawed defenses. Parts of the palace were excavated by Austin Henry Layard in the mid-19th century. His citadel plan shows contours which would be consistent with Sennacherib's garden, but its position has not been confirmed. The area has been used as a military base in recent times, making it difficult to investigate further. A sculptured wall panel of Assurbanipal shows the gardens in its maturity. One original panel and the drawing of another are held by the British Museum, although neither is on public display. Several features mentioned by the classical authors are discernible on these contemporary images. The irrigation of such garden demanded an upgraded water supply to the city of Nineveh. The canal stretched over 50 kilometers into the mountains. Sennacherib was proud of the technologies he had employed and described them in some detail in his inscriptions. At the headwater of Babiyan Kinis, his inscription mentions automatic sluice gates, an enormous aqueduct crossing the valley at Jerwan, and was constructed of over 2 million dressed stones. It used stone arches and waterproof cement. On it is written, Sennacherib, King of the World, King of Assyria. Over a great distance, I had a water course directed to the environs of Nineveh, joining together the waters. Over steep-sided valleys, I spanned an aqueduct of white limestone blocks. I made those waters flow over it. Sennacherib claims to be the first to deploy a new casting technique in place of the low wax process for his monumental 30-ton bronze castings. Sennacherib could bring the water into his garden at a high level because it was sourced from further up the mountains. Then he raised the water even higher by deploying his new water screws. This meant that he could build a garden that towered above the landscape, with large trees on the top of the terraces, a stunning artistic effect that surpassed those of his predecessors, and which justifies his own claim to have built a wonder for all people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please look for the next episode soon, and please ensure to share this with your friends and family. And please like this content and subscribe as a sign of support and for me to continue to provide this type of content to more people like you. Lastly, if you wish to support this content further, please visit the links provided in this publication. Thank you.